Radio Sherwood, la migliore alternativa.
Buonasera, questa è Indica, io sono Salvo.
E io sono Matteo.
And here we have a special guest just before the live show at Sherwood Open Live, Daniel Greer. So, welcome. Well, shall we immediately start with the questions? Do you want to open?
Okay, my first question is, you have traveled a lot for your last tour. What are the most beautiful places where you played?
I played a rooftop terrace in Rome that overlooked the entire city at a hotel that would be way too expensive for me to ever stay at if I wasn't playing there. So that was pretty cool. That was probably like the fanciest venue that I played, the rooftop terrace in Rome at the Independent Hotel. As far as most beautiful places I visited, South Italy, Trani was really nice, and Matera was really nice. And I really liked Prague a lot as well. I had a lot of... Prague, just everywhere you look is beautiful in okay. Prague.
So, I can link to the next question, saying, you know, as a traveler, so I saw that, well, you will be playing from north to south in many places here in Italy. So, my question is, so what is your experience in sightseeing in Italy, from, well, in seeing it from north to south, in architecture, lifestyle, people, if possible, and so...
Are you asking me about the difference between the north and the south?
What you can
see... I don't know if I want to get involved in that.
No. No, you know, actually, we just want to know about your opinion as a traveler. So, about the difference between north and south in, for example, architecture, lifestyle. So, what you find different, if possible?
So, I was in the south mm-hmm. already. I've only been in the north. I went to France. After Rome, I went from Rome to France, and then I came back. So, I've been doing a lot of driving.
Oh, wow.
And concerts, and I haven't had a lot of time to explore in the north. It's kind of just been driving and playing shows the last couple days. So I haven't really, to be honest, been able to take in the north enough to see what the difference would be. The pizza at this place looks different than the pizza looked in the south. Is the pizza different here?
Maybe a little bit. Yeah.
Does this town have the best pizza?
Well, they say that the best one is in Naples, but actually here in the north of Italy right now is very, very good as well.
I had pizza in Naples.
Really?
I did.
Oh, yeah, that's right. This is one of the must-do things
okay.
while you're right there in Naples. So, nice choice from you. Well, my next question is more into music right now. So, I think that your music style and also the way your voice sounds as well looks like a fusion between country and grunge. You know, you recalled me when I listened to your album, the Nirvana's performance at New York City during their Unplugged album recording.
Yes.
So, and I wanted to know about whether, if you really have in your background the grunge genre.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I used my own description of my album was that it was outlaw country meets Nirvana Unplugged with some punk. And definitely, when I was a kid, I grew up on country music because that's what my parents listened to. It's very big in North America. Country music in rural Canada and the United States is huge. So I grew up on country, and then when I got a little bit older, Nirvana changed my life, basically.
Wow.
You know, like, and Nirvana Unplugged in New York especially really changed the way that I thought about music, when you just strip things down and how beautiful a song can be with so little in it, and the emotion that Kurt Cobain had, and that's really resonated with me, that you can just strip a song down to acoustic guitar and vocal, but you get that feeling And the feeling is what matters the most in music. You know, you can have a 10-piece band or you can have one person. People need to feel it, the emotion of it. And to me, grunge was a very emotional music. It got overdone. I don't listen to a lot of grunge anymore, to be honest. But the impact that that Unplugged in New York album had on me is, like, it never went away. It's very important to me.
Oh, wow. So, it's a very nice discover. You know, actually, I took spark for this question from your voice tone, which is slightly scratching.
Mm-hmm.
So it recalled me somehow, Kurt Cobain's voice.
Yeah.
And guitars as well, gave me that impression, kind of. So, and that live is historical, so, you know, it was one of the live shows that grew me up in music. So, you want to have the next question?
Okay, I like your blues side. How do you get keen on this sound and on blues song writing?
The blues, similar to grunge, the blues was about feeling. And to me, okay. The blues artists that I really like are not the ones, not the really, really clean blues.
Okay.
It's, especially like there, a lot of the really old players, like Robert Johnson, that kind of style, where it's just, it's raw, it's acoustic, you can hear the acoustic guitar, you can hear all the mistakes, you can hear everything.
Oh, yes.
But the
yes.
voice, the way those old blues singers and the voice that they have, you can hear the emotion in it. So what I find with the blues, the trick with the blues is trying to sound unique, because it's the chord structure is pretty well the same in all the songs. So I don't think I would do it if it wasn't the fact that I think that my voice is unique and it stands out, and the feeling that I put in my voice, it doesn't sound like every other blues artist. It's a unique style of rock and roll blues, and it's unique to me.
Where come from the struggle of your music?
The struggle
of the blues. When you listen, for example, to Muddy Waters, I feel in his voice a struggle,
right.
An hard life that is connected with the music that Muddy Waters are playing.
I think for myself, that a lot of my struggle is self-created. I could have lived an easy life. You know, I was not born rich by any means, but I grew up in a good family and
okay.
We had enough money to live. You know, we weren't poor, everything was fine. But then I decided that I was gonna be a musician and travel around and play music and, you know, drink too much and do drugs and do stupid things and make life complicated. So, yeah. You know, I think I complicated my life, and then that, you know, again, goes in a circle, then it gives you something to sing about.
Yeah, I think we create our problems because we have the necessity of have some things in our mind for get full the days.
Yeah, exactly.
Get full the days.
Yeah.
I have my last question is, what are the albums you love the most? The best LPs that you listen most in your life?
That's a hard question, but let me... we already covered Unplugged in New York, so that one for
yes,
sure,
yeah.
Nirvana Unplugged in New York. Jimi Hendrix, Electric Ladyland.
Oh yes.
I mean,
wow.
It's hard to
like this album.
It's hard to pick one Hendrix album. But I think if I had to pick one, it would be Electric Ladyland. I mean, I loved Hendrix. Again, he's one of those people, the feeling in the music. It's not about being clean and perfect. It's about having heart and soul. And yeah, that album, I think, was just a really well put together. I mean, everything Hendrix touched was great. But I think that album, just the way it was put together, it was a piece of art, which I like that about an album when it's put together in this really artistic way. Radiohead, The Bends.
Okay.
It's hard to pick a Radiohead album too, but The Bends, I miss when Radiohead rocked.
Yes.
Nothing again. I like what they do now, but it's starting to get boring. I wish that they would come back and make a rock and roll record again.
Too much electronic sounds, too much computer.
I really liked Kid A, and I really liked the album after Kid A, and then a couple more albums, and I was like, okay, I'm bored now.
Yeah.
I'm bored. Let's rock. I wish. One day, maybe they'll rock again.
I like more Atom for Peace, the side project.
Oh, Atom for Peace.
Atom for Peace with Neil Godrick.
Yes.
Well, okay. Well, I would like to link to the previous question by Matteo, because you know, I have like the sensation that your lyrics with musics as well look like being a halfway between ironic and melancholic. So I would like to know, what is the message that you want to give on the that is on the bottom of your music?
I'm not gonna lie. I don't write music to change the world.
Oh.
So I mean, when I write music, my goal is not, I don't really think about how it's gonna make other people feel. But I do think, I've always had an appreciation for music that celebrates your flaws. And it sort of does it in a fun, happy way. And it makes people feel better about themselves. I've always liked that. There's this one song, there's this rock and roll band in Canada that have this really fun song called So She's Leaving. And it's just a fun, upbeat rock and roll song, but at the end of the day, the point of the song is his girlfriend or wife or whatever is leaving. But it's just so much fun. So she's leaving. And you know, you can just, like, everybody can rock out and party to that idea of something that's not actually a happy thing, but you can relate to it. Yes. So it makes you happy that you can relate to it. And I mean, there's not very many people that don't have at least a little bit of a drinking problem. I've got a pretty good drinking problem, but you know, I contain it, I'm functional, I make albums, I tour the world. But you know, it's also made me do stupid things, so I go back to the alcohol thing a lot. I don't know why. I'd like to, I mean, maybe my next album I'll try to branch out and write about something else. But I find it's one of those things that you can both, it's so easy to both celebrate it and to also write about the hurt that it's caused you, and it just kind of mixes, you know, it's done both. It was like the Homer Simpson said, in the Simpsons he says, alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
We think too.
Okay, well, changing a little bit, argument. Well,
an argument?
Yeah. Oh, no, changing argument, I mean.
Changing direction.
Yeah, that's right.
I understand. Oh. Sorry.
Yeah, argument, you mean to quarrel, maybe. Oh, yeah. No, it's not my
changing meaning. Topic.
Yeah, that's right.
I understand.
Well, so you are also a member of Do Good Bad Bliss.
Yes.
So in what is different your music style as a solo artist than when you play with Do Good Bad Bliss?
It's very, very, very different. When I started the Do Good Bad Bliss, this was almost 20 years ago now, when I was in high school. I was quite young, and we were actually, it was my band. It was called the Daniel Greer Band at the time, named after myself, and then we changed names over the years, and the band members changed. So when the band started, it was just me. It was all my songs. It wasn't just me, sorry. My brother was a big part of it that played, in case he reads this article. But I was more or less the main songwriter and the front person. I sang the songs, but over the years it changed a lot. And we've got three of us that all write songs, all of us sing, and it seems over the years that we've kind of went more towards my brother's songwriting than my songwriting. And this is sort of a chance for me to do something I find with my songs. They're a little bit, they're simpler, they're a lot more rough around the edges, and they're also more, more literal, as opposed to, you know, just trying to, as opposed to sort of being poetic. My songs are kind of more smack you in the face, like, they're a little bit funny, they're literal lyrics, you know, it's not like it's basically the opposite of Nirvana lyrics. You know, if you read my lyrics, you know what they mean.
Yeah.
So it's literal, it's blunt, it's raw, and it's just me.
You know, before I say that I have like, well, that your, you know, your music style is like, you know, a blend between grunge and country, but actually in another song that is Drunk on Sunday, actually you look like having done something different, because it gave me the impression to be a metal song but played in acoustic.
Okay.
So I want to know why about this choice, and so speak freely about it.
The choice of doing it acoustic,
yeah,
or the choice of the song?
No, sorry. No. Explain me, well, why did you decide to do this kind of shift in your style? Because it gives me the impression to be a metal song but played in acoustic.
Well, that song, for one, it's actually one of the older songs on the album. Most of the album I wrote in the last year or two. That song I wrote 5 or 6 years ago, so that could be part of the difference. But we actually tried that song with the band, and it didn't work. I don't know, it just never, to me, I get what you're saying with the metal vibe, but to me, I've never liked music that's like really chuggy. I like it to have kind of more of a free flow swagger to it. I don't know, you know what I mean? And I found that song that when I tried to play it with the band, it just always seemed to lose its feeling. And I like the loose feeling of it that I do when I play it on my own. So this is the first time I ever recorded it, and I just did it the way that I wrote it.
Well, I think I am almost done. Just a very, very conclusive question. Well, what are the next stages of your tour, and what are your social media contacts where you can find you in?
Okay, I don't, where are my next stops? I've only got two more in Italy, and then I'm back to Canada. I play Fulcina 209 in Granarolo dell'Emilia.
Oh, can
do you wanna, can I you wanna do it? You wanna read?
Fulcina 209, Granarolo dell'Emilia.
Fantastic. That was way easier than me doing it.
Exo l'Eficio Quisa, and then you're going back to Canada. So
yes.
So hopefully for the other ones who are, you know, the village in Bowmanville.
Yes.
Oh,
that's
right.
My pub. That's where I live.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
That's my home pub. It's where I sit and drink Guinness.
So hopefully someone who is around in Canada can come to you there. Horse Show Tavern, Toronto. Nice. Second Wedge Brewing, Uxbridge. And On the Dogs Pub, Huntsville.
Yes.
Ontario as well. Oh, nice thing. Well,
and my social media, it's all the same.
Yes. Can you say it, please? Because I don't.
So, yeah. When I write it, I capitalize the F and the U in the D.
Yeah.
So that, because it's F-U, Postman Dan. So it's all written out as one word, but when you say it, F-U, it's meant to be like short for fuck you, not foo. Some people think it's foo. Foo, Postman Dan. No. F-U, Postman Dan. And so that's my Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and it's also the name of my album, at F-U, Postman Dan, which is on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube. The reason I did that, I came up with, I wanted a unique social media name that nobody else had. So that, because I had it that like my Instagram was one thing, my Facebook's another, you know what I mean? Like I had to have a business card with a whole bunch of different, this address and this address. So I was like, I need to think of something unique to me that I can be like, then I can just have a card with one thing on it. And nobody else is called F.U. Postman Dan, believe it or not. I'm the only one.
Many thanks for your time.
Yes, thank you guys.
So since now, we guess you need to get prepared for your live show. Unfortunately,
yeah, I think I'm supposed to start in 2 minutes.
Yeah. So it's really time to go.
Yes. Many, is he like, it's showtime.
Many thanks to Daniel Green for being with us.
Thank you guys.
We wish you a very nice live show tonight here.
Yes.
Radio Sherwood, la migliore alternativa.